Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know why?
Why?
Because Creepy Kingdom has officially launched a Patreon account.
Patreon? What's Patreon?
Well, let me tell you, Patreon is a way that the listeners of the show can support us.
So, like a Kickstarter?
Not exactly. Kickstarter only is a one-time thing. On Patreon, our listeners can support us every month. And in exchange for them supporting us, we will give them special, super awesome prizes.
How much do they have to pay to support us?
They can pay whatever they want. You could pay $1 a month. You could pay $10, $100. It's up to them.
That's really cool. So how can Creepy Kingdom fans find this Patreon thing?
Well, you could go to creepykingdom.com and check the show notes on our recent episodes, or you could go to patreon.com/creepykingdom. That's patreon.com.
I'm going to go check it out right now.
Me too.
Monster Movie Media presents.
This is Corey Burton, the voice of the El Rey Network, and the Haunted Mansion Holidays, and of course Captain Hook, and many others. And you're listening to the Creepy Kingdom Podcast.
Greetings and welcome to episode 83 of the Creepy Kingdom Podcast. A podcast all about the creepiness of the Disney films and theme parks. I am your host, Mr. James H. Carter II. On this episode, we take a look at the newly released trailer for the upcoming film, Alice Through the Looking Glass. And somehow we end up talking about Star Wars stuff in Tomorrowland in Disneyland. I don't know. Sounds like a wild ride. Well, let's begin. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
I wasn't talking to you guys.
Sorry.
I was about to introduce you guys.
I know, but I wanted to interrupt you. I don't know why. I'm sorry, Kate. My bad. Start over.
No, so you should leave this in. So, in case you're not sure who's there, I'm joined by the evil queen of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Roxy Tart.
Hello, everyone.
And how was that? And I'm drawing a blank on your title there, Cupcake Terror. What was it?
I don't think I have one.
You did. Weren't you the Duchess?
Oh, I don't know. I don't remember. It's been so long since I've been on. I haven't thought about it.
Maybe we should revoke her title.
Well, yeah. Screw your face. I have it to be determined, TBD.
I swear to God, she's either like the Countess or the
Countess.
Duchess.
It's the Countess. You're
right.
It's
the Countess. Yeah, it's the Countess.
All right. We settled this issue.
You know. Well, now we're done. Now we can go home. We talked about
this. Yeah, okay, that's it. Bye.
No. We are joined by the Countess of Creepy Kingdom, Miss Cupcake Terror. Hello.
Hello, everybody.
And we have come here today to do another of our favorite things we love to do on the show, the Creeping Soon segment. Where we analyze and get all pumped up or not pumped up about upcoming potentially creepy Disney movies. And I feel like we might have a creepy one on our hands today. We are going to be talking about the trailer for the upcoming film, Alice Through the Looking Glass.
Yes.
Yay! You guys, Katie's really excited.
I'm really excited.
I mean, like, really excited.
Really, really, really excited. I had to not talk about anything before we came on the show.
She's been holding it all in. It's going to be fresh for your ears right now.
This might be really good or really bad.
We'll see. But before we even get to that, I feel it's necessary for us to kind of take a few steps back and talk about the first Alice in Wonderland film. You know, just a little bit. We haven't done an episode on it.
And I have seen the ending credits to the first Alice in Wonderland film over 100 times.
Why?
Why would you say? Because of Skylar?
Because my son really likes the ending credits of that movie, so he watches it over and over and over.
What's in the ending credits?
Nothing.
Oh.
They're just credits. But it's got, like, the, you know, the outline of, like, the plants. And they, like, move and stuff. Okay. And he really likes the song. And so, like, I've only seen the movie a few times. But, man, those ending credits, dude, they are riveting.
Well, originally, the movie was filmed for 3D. So mm-hmm. the ending credits was so beautiful to watch. I stayed to the very end.
It really was.
Yeah, beautiful. So
well, real quickly, without getting too deeply into it, why don't we just share a little bit our thoughts of the first movie and maybe kind of set the tone of our expectations for the sequel. All right, who wants to go first?
Go ahead, Francis.
let me volunteer myself. I love the movie. I thought it was really wonderfully creepy. I loved Helena Bonham Carter's Red Queen's big fat head. And the Cheshire Cat. I really liked. I want to say he was one of my favorite parts of the movie because he had that creepy quality from one of my favorite video games, American McGee's Alice, and was kind of sort of helpful, but not really, as he is in the story and in Disney's original cartoon, Alice in Wonderland. I think those two are pretty creepy. And the Tweedledum and Tweedledee. That guy, I blanked on his name. Do you guys remember his name?
No idea.
No.
It was just creepy because he was just so very much awkward and it was just weird.
Matt Lucas is the actor.
I should have like watched it.
Matt Lucas.
Yeah. Matt Lucas, yes. He's actually a really funny guy, too. He's a comedian over across the pond.
Oh, those pond crossers. Hey, everybody over there listening. So you loved it, basically.
Cheerio,
yeah. So you loved the first movie.
I loved it. I thought it was great. The color palette, the fact that it was in 3D really made it come to life for me. And everything about Wonderland was so much fun. The first reveal I thought was gorgeous, where everything was gigantic and big, and all the flowers, and the rocking horse, and the... I think it was the rocking horse fly?
Mm-hmm.
It's the one that they had, yeah. So all the little stuff. It was a great movie.
Okay.
I can go on for a while, but...
I'll cut you
off. We know you could.
All right, Roxy.
I thought it was a good movie. I didn't think it was a great movie. I totally enjoyed it enough to watch it more than once. But mainly because I thought the sets were amazing, and I thought the costumes were amazing. And, I mean, I love Johnny Depp, so I'll basically watch anything that he does. And I like how they did the characters. I was not as big a fan as Cupcake. But I did still really like it. I thought it was stunning. It was so pretty. So I was all for it, especially watching it in the theater in 3D. And like I said earlier, that ending credit scene was really neat in the theater. So.
Well, cool. Here's what I have to bring to the table with this. So the animated Disney Alice in Wonderland was one of my favorite films for most of my life, particularly during my teenage years. I feel like weird teenagers gravitate to that movie. It's for once growing up in the 90s, I don't know. But yeah, I was pretty obsessed with Alice as the Disney's Alice. And this was the first one that they did. I mean, they've been doing several live adaptations at this point, but this was kind of the first one, and this was kind of a big deal. It's going to kind of set the tone for the live action adaptations. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's the first one they did. I don't recall one before it.
I think so.
It's definitely the first one of the movies they're making now. So, Oh, no. How can we forget about 101 Dalmatians? Oh, wait, I already forgot.
Oh. Hey. Okay, that is one of the best interpretations of Cruella de Vil ever.
Of Cruella de Vil.
Yeah, yes. Cruella de Vil is fine, yes. But the movie's
not. I love that movie for no other reason than Cruella's wardrobe.
Yep. And it was Glenn Close, wasn't it?
Yes.
Did you enjoy the 30 minutes of no dialogue of puppies plotting and going on an adventure that was in the middle of the movie?
There were dogs in that movie?
I think Roxy tuned out whenever Cruella wasn't on screen.
I think, it was just a fashion show movie, right?
I guess, yes.
I'm pretty sure, so was the second one. I watched that one, too.
Yeah, I didn't see that one. All right, back to Alice. So, I was pretty excited to see the movie. One of my biggest criticisms of the film is that it is not a live adaptation of the animated film. It is a sequel to the animated film, which it took me about halfway through the movie to even understand that or realize that.
And really?
Yeah. She had already been to Wonderland once. At the beginning of the film, she used to...
Really, it took him that long to realize that. Really, it was a woman!
Sorry.
I'm like, what is going on here? I was like... I mean, maybe it didn't take me that long, but whatever it was, I didn't really like that aspect of it. I actually wanted to see a live adaptation of the animated film, but the story was okay. But I agree with pretty much what you guys are saying with the visuals. The visuals were amazing, especially in 3D. That was great use of 3D. There's not too many good use of 3D out there, and of course. I liked Helena Bonham Carter.
I was going to say.
We know you love her.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure, like the big head Helena is my favorite.
I didn't like it.
Down with the big red head.
But her performance was pretty much on point. That was enjoyable. So when they said they were going to do another one, I mean, this movie was like so successful. Raised so much money. It just kind of seems like a cash grab. I mean, I would say like I'm kind of closer to your feelings, Roxy, on the movie. Like, I thought it was good. I don't think I've seen it more than once, in all honesty. But I might have watched it again, but I just remember maybe not the whole way through. But and of course, being a Harry Potter fan, it's pretty much Alice and the voice of. Cast of Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Like, so many people from those movies were voices in this, so, that was amusing. But coming up to this one, I kind of was like, it just kind of seemed a little bit like a cash grab. I mean, it was like, I knew I was going to see it, but I can't say I was too excited. But the trailer just came out, and I had an open mind, and I just watched it, and you guys just watched it. So
again,
if you have not seen the trailer, please pause this podcast right now. We will give you a moment to go and watch it and then come back.
Yeah, let's go to creepykingdom.com. It'll be in the show notes. All right. So either you kept listening and you've seen it, or you're just crazy and you like to go on crazy rides and not see it, or you watched it. Either way, we're going to talk about it. So... All right, let's get some initial reactions. And I know someone that's chomping at the bit to get started here, so.
Whee! I am so excited, you guys. I watched it. I watched it twice today, as they know. And visually.
Dude, she watched it twice in the last 10 minutes.
Shh. Yes, I did. Visually, it looks awesome. And that's just on my little laptop. This is not... on a big screen. This is not on, my big screen television. This is on my laptop. Looks amazing. I have a feeling that Alice is... Her outfit, when she falls into Wonderland, it seems, looks Asian. So I don't know if she's in China or Mongolia or whatever. Super colorful outfit. Very different. Obviously,
really pretty.
Not English. So I don't know if that's an outfit that she's going into the mirror. I think that's what she's wearing. So, mm-hmm. it looks very interesting. Or she's just returned from the Orient after, you know, doing a training stint. I don't even know where do I start? I mean, the outfit's great. the music sounds wonderful. I love the narration and the poem. I believe it is the Cheshire Cat reading.
It is.
Saying. Yeah, the Cheshire Cat. The one that sticks out the most for me, which I'm surprised that I'm excited by, was Sacha Baron Cohen as, I guess it would be Father Time. I'm very surprised that I was excited about that. He has these really amazing piercing blue eyes, and he looks wonderful. Now, there's a shot of him in the back where it's all this clockwork gears, so obviously he's not a real person, per se. But I just got really excited when I saw him. He looks great. I think a lot of his... I like a lot of his characters that are not the stupid comedy ones. Like, I can't stand, like, a couple of the movies that he did where... What was it? The guy with the green one-piece
baby. Borat?
Borat.
Yeah, I hate that character. But
you guys, they took one of Katie's, an actor that Katie likes, put him in a story that Katie loves, and made him steampunk. Okay? She could fall into this movie and would be the happiest person in the world.
Seriously. I'm just saying. Seriously, yeah. No, I like him. I didn't like him in his earlier stuff. I like him in his other characters that he's played. He's played some really good ones. And he always encompasses the part. So I'm excited to see him. And Helena Bonham Carter being back, obviously, as Bloody Big Head. I love her head. I'm sorry. I love that visual effect. I love how they did it. I watched the behind the scenes on how they made her head bigger. And it was so interesting to me. And then to have it, you know, it's... to have her be talking with this bloody big head on this little body.
Well, how did they do it?
I can't tell you. Go watch it.
What do you mean you can't tell me?
Well, no.
It's a trade secret, James.
No, not if they did it behind the scenes.
It's a trade secret that only them and Katie know. Okay? She signed a non-disclosure agreement, okay. All right?
Well, I don't want to say this is how they do it and then get it wrong. But from what I remember, they shot the scenes and then they basically elongated her neck and made her head bigger in like all of the, I don't know. I think.
All right. Good description.
All right. Now we're going to talk about what I thought of the trailer.
Yeah. Let's talk. Let's hear what you got to say.
Oh, wait. Wait. Oh. The Cheshire Cat in the sea. I think that's my favorite part.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Okay, well, I have only seen the trailer once, and it was about 10 minutes ago, right before we started recording this podcast, because I was literally going to come on this show to talk about a trailer that I had not seen yet, because I thought it would be really funny to see Cupcake and James's reactions.
I would have smacked you through the computer.
Like, live. I thought that would have been awesome, but then James totally caught me that I hadn't seen it yet. He actually knew I hadn't seen it yet.
I just knew.
So... I watched it, and my first impression was, ooh, pretty, because it is really pretty. Just for a trailer, it's gorgeous, so I will already see the movie just for that. But like Katie said, Alice's outfit was awesome. I don't know where she was or where it's from, but it looks really, really cool. It's not that pale blue English, you know, countryside dress anymore. So I'm excited to see that, and... did I mention it was pretty?
No.
I think you might have mentioned that.
Okay. Then, yeah. Other than that, I got nothing. It was pretty.
All right. You're like, oh, pretty colors.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I mean, apparently something's happening to the Mad Hatter, and so we have to go and save the Mad Hatter, which, I mean, that's cool. I like the whole, you know, Alice isn't the damsel in distress, that the... you know, the girl is saving the guy. Like, I think that's a great twist. And the White Queen is in it again. And, oh. Katie may be a Queen of Hearts fan, but, oh, the necromantic White Queen is like, I love her. So I'm happy that she's in it.
She looks beautiful, too. Anne Hathaway, oh my God, embodied that character so well. In the first one, she was so nice with this really weird edge.
She was so good. She was my favorite part of the first movie. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad that she's in it again and she's playing the character again. They brought her back. And I hope she has a bigger part this time. But other than that, I think I'd have to watch the trailer 5 or 6 more times to like really zone in on like certain details and stuff like Miss Katie did.
Well, we should talk about the little toy at the at the trailer.
That was my favorite part at the end where the time guy gives the Queen of Hearts the little music box thing, and it's a little thing with a king and a dude, and he cuts off his head, and she does a little laugh. I really want one of those.
Hopefully they'll put those out.
If Disney is a smart marketing machine, it will. Although I don't know how family friendly that is.
Yeah, if they don't, someone just hook me up with one of those, please. Like I know we have a listener out there that can make it, right?
Sure, we definitely do.
I'll get you a couple like Warcraft pieces, and we'll just paint them up, and then do that. Yeah,
whatever you got to do, yo.
All right, we'll get that going. We have a while before the movie comes out. Quite a bit, because as I mentioned, this does come out in May of 2016. So,
originally, I thought they were going to release it in March.
I think that's when it originally was.
It was like either right on my birthday or near my birthday.
I think I remember you saying that.
Yeah, so I was really excited about it being released in March, so. But now it's May. Whatever.
Now it's May. You gotta wait.
That's okay.
You can celebrate your birthday in May.
I'm not now. My birthday is on a brilliant day in March. I would hate to change it. So.
Well, I'm gonna celebrate your birthday in May. So.
I'm gonna celebrate by seeing a movie.
Well, happy birthday. We'll see this then. I really like the trailer. I like the whole tone of it. I mean, pretty much it's like. Everything is bad and creepy and dark. Like there was really nothing real positive and light and whimsical about this trailer at all. So I think this has the potential to be like really awesome and be really dark and possibly a creepy classic. I think so. I mean, that's just my quick take. I do have a few things I want to dive into. One of which is that we're switching directors.
Yeah, it's not Tim Burton.
It is not Tim Burton.
Yeah.
No.
So he wasn't going to come back for a second one. He did the first one. And then when they talked to him about doing the second, he showed no interest in doing it. So
I assume that means that the biggest change that we're going to have is there will be less stripes in the wardrobe.
You shut your mouth. No, it doesn't look like it. I mean, well, his filming style, too, is he has very trademark ways of doing things. So, yeah, we will probably have less stripes. The director now is James Bobbin.
James Bobbin, who has directed the last two Muppet movies, The Muppets 2011 and Muppets Most Wanted, which surprisingly was made by the same person, since I think they are night and day as far as quality. Because I love 2001's Muppets. Muppets Most Wanted seemed like they phoned it in. I don't know. And
he's also worked with Sacha Baron Cohen.
Yes, he has. He has worked on The Ali G Show and also Flight of the Conchords. So his background is certainly not creepy, dark, whimsical movies.
Definitely not.
No, but a lot of comedy.
This looks nice and dark, though. Like, so
more of a dark adventure. Like Alice doesn't quite want to go back to Wonderland, but she has to. And you can tell Alice has grown older and she's a woman now and she's traveled and had her own adventures. And now here's Wonderland going, you have to come back.
It does look like an adventure movie. Like, for sure, from the trailer, at least. It doesn't look like a drama and it doesn't look like a comedy. It really does look like a like epic adventure movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially that's kind of the tone is that you're not really seeing the whole picture. You know, that's the kind of it makes you think there's a lot more to be discovered.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Why is Alice there to save the Hatter? What did the Hatter do?
Obviously, he just annoyed this time guy so much that. I mean, come on. It's how long can you hang out with the Hatter for before you're like, dude, you need to calm down.
he's kind of on 10 all the time.
I love his little pith helmet.
I mean,
this adventure helmet.
I have never actually been a Mad Hatter fan, like not in the original cartoon. I know, Katie, I'm sorry. Not in the original cartoon, not at Disneyland, not in the books. You know, I never really liked the Mad Hatter that much until the first Alice in Wonderland live action movie. And I was like, oh, well, somehow Johnny Depp has made me like the Mad Hatter. That's awesome.
Let's not be silly now.
I think you just like any role Johnny Depp plays.
No, there are movies that he has been in that I'm just like, no. No. But he made me like the Mad Hatter. I was really, really surprised. Except that I don't think I could hang out with him for a long time. You know, tea for an hour? Sure. Living with the guy? No. Yeah. No, off with his head.
He'd be a crappy roommate.
Right?
Are you ever going to clean up this tea party? It's still going on. Oh, well, take out the trash.
Yeah, right. I think it'd be way worse than that. But so the thing I want to bring up, which, you know, I let you, Cupcake, speak your piece on this. And I was silent, but now I will speak on this matter.
Speak, James.
So I'm a absolutely huge diehard fan of Sacha Baron Cohen. He is a person that no matter what he does, I love it. I've loved every single role that he's played in every single film that he's ever been in.
Wow.
I can't, like, I've even I'm trying to think. What was that? It was like Ricky Bobby.
I love that movie. It's the only movie that I like that I think that he's been in.
Yeah, when he played Pierre, maybe? I don't know. Like, he killed it in that one, because that was kind of a one-note joke, the Ricky Bobby element of it, but his role in that movie was amazing. I mean, I'm just setting the tone there. I've loved everything he's done. I saw Borat 6 times in the theater.
Jeez.
Wow.
Like, I'm just to illustrate how much I
you are a fan.
I am a fan of his. And he, you know, he kind of surprised all of us when he came out and did Sweeney Todd a few years back.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah,
he's good in that.
You know, he could sing. I mean, again, and then I guess that led to him doing Les Mis, which. Mm-hmm. I don't even know if I saw that. So I guess
it's you know what? I saw it. His character is amazing in it. That scene that he's in, I mean, that they're both, it was amazing. But that movie is so depressing.
Yeah, I might.
I went and saw it with a couple friends of mine. They were just crying the whole time. And I'm sitting here going, okay, this is really sad. But it is not an uplifting movie. Even at the end of the movie, I was like, this, no. Sorry. Well, tangent.
Well, it's fine. I'm pretty sure I haven't seen it, and you're not making me want to watch it.
No, just watch the scene. I mean, Sacha Baron Cohen is an amazing character actor. He encompasses his characters, but his scene, just watch his scenes. They're really good.
All right, I'll do that. I'm sure they're on YouTube.
Oh, yeah.
So, he's great at everything to me. So, I mean, he's probably, I mean, you know, I love when he branches out, but his original work was such a huge influence on me, and I've done variations of it, I guess, where I've pretended to be not, you know, I'm not going to really get into it here and put all
you pretended to be a guy from Kyrgyzstan wearing
I didn't
a one green one piece.
No, I didn't take his characters and pretend to be them. I've just was inspired to pretend to be something ridiculous to people thinking that I was for real. That I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't want to let all the tricks out of the bag here or let everyone know about my past, but I've
just, so you
know.
Listeners, you might have to go back to Even James Has a Podcast and see what he's done.
Yeah.
Right?
I've done some things.
You've seen stuff, you guys.
So, I mean, we pretty much got the entire cast back from the first movie, besides the Jabberwocky. Maybe the Jabberwocky makes an appearance. I don't know.
Oh, no, but there's a dragon. There was a dragon, though. There is a dragon.
I wasn't sure if that was a dragon or if that was another Jabberwocky.
Well, okay. Alice vanquished the Jabberwocky in the first movie.
But how do we know?
Well, this is true. It could always come back. I mean, time. I mean, time's obviously gone crazy there. It is dark now. Alice has been away too long. Wonderland has been left to its own devices, which it seems Alice is like the sanity that keeps Wonderland in check.
How'd you like to have that responsibility?
Yeah, why is this on her? She just stops by once in a while.
Right.
Well, because Wonderland's crazy. They're all nup jobs. I mean, it's like taking all the crazy people in the world and sticking them into one land, like Australia, and seeing what happens.
Well, there goes our Australian listeners.
Do you hear that, Australians? That's what Cupcake Terror thinks of you.
Hey, I like Australia. I like the crazy. I'm okay with this. I would love to be Alice and go and save the world. I have a wonderment. So Alice in Wonderland in the first movie, they obviously took elements from Through the Looking Glass and stuck it into the movie, like elements of the book, the Jabberwocky, the White Queen, the Red Queen. Mm-hmm. So this script and story for Through the Looking Glass, Alice in Wonderland movie, this has got to be a standalone thing. It's been a very, very, very long time since I've read the books. I read them when I was a kid. I fell in love with them then, and I haven't picked them up since. So, I don't know if listeners want to chime in comments, or maybe we could look it up. Is this a standalone script? Are there any elements of the movie that are actually in the second book? Because I believe there's only Alice's Adventures in Wonderland only spans a few books, if I remember correctly.
Well, what I do know, I don't recall exactly the book or Through the Looking Glass, but the character of Time is in the book, but only mentioned.
Okay.
So there's not it's not like a part of the story. Well, this is obviously Sacha Baron Cohen playing Time here is obviously a major character.
Yeah, he's like the bad guy, right?
Yeah.
We think.
Yeah, it seems like it. It's obviously he's the antagonist, whatever.
Antagonist.
Thank you. Alice would be the protagonist.
Yes.
I'm not a novelist.
I just play one on TV.
Yes, how do you know?
So, I mean, I'm not sure. I'm not sure. They took the liberties of the first one and making it not really about the first book, but sort of about it, and then took elements from the second book. So I guess they're just kind of, I guess that's fine. It's probably more interesting that way to just kind of come up with a little bit of their own twist. So as you're watching it, you don't know exactly everything that's going to happen.
Right. You're not like watching Game of Thrones where like, oh, I know what's going to happen next. Yeah, that happened.
I don't like that.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like when, it's like we were talking about when we did the show about Cinderella. Mm-hmm. You know, it was almost an exact adaptation. And I don't like going to see a movie that's an exact adaptation because I feel like if I'm going to go and see a live action movie made of something that was a book or a cartoon or whatever, I want it to have some surprises. I want it to be a little bit different. I want to be able to come out and be like, ooh, I really like how they changed blah. I like that you can't walk into the Alice movies being like, I know exactly what's going to happen because it's a carbon copy of the book.
No, that's a little fun. I mean, I will say going in to the first movie, I wanted to see a live adaptation of the animated film, you know, and so I was disappointed, you know, moving on, you know, I'll just, whatever is fine. I'm not looking for that, but it's, we never really followed up on Cinderella. Actually, we did a whole episode about the trailer. Did you see it, Cupcake?
Yes.
We never did a Cinderella show?
No,
we talked about the trailer.
Yeah. We should actually do
I don't
that one offline.
I don't know.
Talk about it and then record it.
It wasn't very creepy.
Yeah, I don't think it's worth doing an episode. That's why I bring it now. But that one actually it wasn't an exact adaptation.
Mm-mm. No, but I remember when we were watching, when we did the show about the trailer, that's what it was. That one of us mentioned it. I think it was you, James. that it looked, so much like the cartoon, and from the trailer, we knew everything that happened in the movie.
Yeah, that was the thing that bugged me about it. You get the dress reveal in the trailer and blah blah.
But with Alice, I think they did a really good job where we don't know we know the basic story, but really not anything that's going to happen or what's going to go on.
What if this new Alice movie has a real dark ending? What if somebody like dies?
I like those fixed endings. I mean, it's Disney, so it's not going to be completely sad because Disney's not going to be like, oh, and here's something sad and you're let down. I mean, they're going to make you happy. But
they're going to be like, this is what we're putting out and you're going to buy it anyway. That's the way Disney is. They don't care. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, when it comes to killing people, Disney is brilliant at it. I mean, look at the first, 10 minutes of Frozen and every other story. Parents are always dying. The world of Disney is filled with orphans. That's how I really feel the world exists.
Tarzan is one of my favorite examples of how Disney does death so well.
Hey, Roxy.
Hey, James.
Have you seen the Dark Side of Disney documentary?
I have seen it. I saw it on the West Coast. Have you?
I saw it there as well.
Crazy.
A little bit. Yeah, it's weird you didn't say hi to me. I don't think that everyone listening got to see it.
It was on the West Coast, and I think that's a little far for our East Coast listeners to go.
If only there was an East Coast screening of the Dark Side of Disney documentary.
James, there is one.
Our prayers have been answered.
It's going to be on November 14th.
That's amazing. Do you know where it's going to be? I mean, the East Coast is pretty big.
It's an Orlando Walt Disney World premiere. It's going to be at a comic and collectible shop in downtown Orlando called Gods and Monsters. And I know that sounds a little intimate, but the place is a massive bar that seats 250 people for screenings.
Wow. That sounds like the ultimate place to see this documentary.
It is.
Is there anything else going on besides a movie screening?
Actually, there is. Before the documentary, at 7 o'clock, there's going to be a Dark Side costume contest. And then after the documentary, there'll be a Q&A session.
Wow, that sounds like a fun-filled evening of fun-filled fun activities.
Y'all, Dark Side of Disney, East Coast premiere, Gods and Monsters, downtown Orlando, November 14th.
Get your tickets now by going to DSODDOC.com. I guess this trailer really, it kind of just shows one thing. It shows that Wonderland's all messed up and it's because of this time guy. And Alice has to help the Mad Hatter save Wonderland.
And is the Mad Hatter carrying an ant farm with him? Because there is a part where it looks like one of those, like, the glass encased ant farms with the sand in it.
Would it surprise anyone?
I just realize it might just be a time clock.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm looking at it now. It does look like an ant farm.
An Thanks. Hourglass?
It's just me. Awesome.
No, it literally looks like an ant farm. But it is not.
Right. And I just love it.
There's no ants.
Awesome little moment. No ants? Okay.
There's no ants. I literally.
Oh, maybe that's what they're doing. His ant farm broke. The ants got out. And now he has to rescue all the ants. And Father Time says, no.
And the
you cannot have
this. Father Time guy is terrified of ants. He has an ant phobia. And so.
Probably all over his kitchen. Screw yeah, stuff.
And when the ants escaped, he got pissed at the Mad Hatter and was like, dude, I'm locking you up. This isn't cool. Why'd you bring ants into my house?
Wow.
This is how you get ants, Lana.
This is how you get ants, Alice.
Wow. Well, yeah, that's probably what's happening. Good call. I just sent you guys a screenshot. Of the ant farm.
Oh, I can see why you thought it was an ant farm.
Oh, it's not. It might
no.
be. No, what is
it's
that?
It's not an ant farm. It's one of those sand things where you turn it one way and it all falls down and creates
maybe it's Wonderland.
It's
looks like it could be Wonderland. That's
sand kind of- sculpture of Wonderland. I don't know. I don't know. Also, what's with the hat? Are we on a safari?
It's the pith helmet. That's his adventure hat.
Oh,
that's how you
okay,
know
yeah.
they're going on an adventure.
All right, so we are on a safari. Got it. Okay. Making sure.
Clearly what we should have done is just go by the trailer and pause it frame by frame and then analyze each scene like it's a Star Wars trailer or something.
See, Oh my goodness. When they did those announcements and they had the big Star Wars celebration down, I think it was Anaheim, the big convention. I was listening to them talk on it. It was all on Xbox or whatever it was. It was an hour long of them talking about the first trailer.
Right,
we could do
and
that.
I was like listening halfway through and I'm going, okay, I love Star Wars, but this is ridiculous. They are taking it down piece by piece.
At that point,
you can tell that they're fans. They want to do that. I don't feel the need to do that with this trailer.
Oh, we're doing it. No, we're not.
Are we doing it?
No, we're not doing it. We're wrapping this up.
There's lots of movies I could do that with. I could have done that with the Jim movie.
Yeah. Well, you already saw it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. Like, I could have taken the trailer for that and talked about it for 3 hours. No problem. Of course, you know this because I kind of did.
Kind of.
Never mind. So, anyways.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to put anything in the parks having to do with this movie.
Yeah, you know what? That was a big thing I was wondering because when this came out, it was the first of the live action ones. I was kind of wondering if they were going to like try to sweep the old Alice under the rug, and nothing really happened. The only thing that came in really is really bad Tea Party at California Adventure,
mm-hmm.
which is styled to the Tim Burton film.
But like a lot of the times they'll put, at least temporarily, they'll have a character from the live action movies taking pictures in the park. Like they did Giselle when Enchanted came out, the White Queen when Narnia came out. Like that.
Did they do it for 2010's Alice?
No.
I don't think so.
They didn't have any face characters or ambient characters.
Yeah, so I wonder if they will now.
I think it might have been because it was a Tim Burton. Well, no, I can't say that because they do they do Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, as much as I love the Alice movies and they are wonderful, I like my traditional Alice and Mad Hatter. I love going and seeing them and how adorable they are. And, watching the kids play musical chairs with them over at Coat Corner. I like seeing the traditional Alice and Mad Hatter. While I do love the movies, I don't think it would lend itself well to Fantasyland because it's out of place in that Alice world.
But they could.
It's perfect. Like, it's a little bit more modern. It really does fit. So I'm glad that they at least have one type of thought too.
They could put time in.
Yeah.
In the same spot because it wouldn't be a new Mad Hatter. Or a new Alice but they could definitely right when you enter Fantasyland through the castle, that little corner right there where they usually put the
villains.
The villains and stuff like that. That's where the White Queen was. But that would be, that'd be rad. They could do that. And then it's not taking away from any of the other characters.
Yeah.
Cause I feel like the classic Alice are such a staple, particularly at Disneyland more than mm-hmm. Magic Kingdom, because, you have the two attractions and they're Alice and the Mad Hatter are always out,
mm-hmm. Always.
And even if they replace them, even let alone visually it wouldn't work, but their whole
their demeanor.
Their vibe. It doesn't work.
The cartoon Alice is adorable and sweet and young. Alice now, she's older. She's an adult. That right there is kind of like a big Disney no-no, for face characters. The only people that are old that are face characters seem to be villains or the fairy godmother. Everyone else is young.
I think it'd be cool, though.
Imagine, the Mad Hatter. Let's have tea as I, go and get crazy with my big eyes.
No, I think it would be cool if they did something. Just a little something so that you had that opportunity to, I love that kind of stuff. I love that super limited, character involvement or even, the little set or a little, I think that's really neat.
I think people that have been to Disneyland, which hopefully is all of you because this is a Creepy Kingdom podcast.
Well, not everyone's been to Disneyland.
True. Okay, Walt Disney World. Well, I think they have this in Disney World as well. Pixie Hollow, when you are
They don't have it.
They're waiting in the queue to meet the fairy. Oh, they don't. Okay, never mind.
No, it's only in Disneyland. Well, in
Disneyland. And they have a queue to meet all of the pixies. And as you walk through the queue, technically you're shrinking to fairy size. But the way that they present it is everything is getting taller. The flowers are bigger. I would love to see something like that that is Wonderland themed in the park. I think that would be a lot of fun. Not specifically like the queue and let's do this, but creating gigantic foliage like they have at the ride already. Make it bigger, you know, creating more of a, you know, maybe at nighttime having more of that vibe to where things come to life a little more.
You know what would be neat? Because, okay, technically in Fantasyland, in Disneyland, Alice in Wonderland has three attractions. It has the Alice in Wonderland ride, the teacups, and the Mad Hatter shop.
Right.
And they're all right there in that little triangle of each other. It would be so cool if, say, for Halloween, they did an overlay, an outdoor overlay, kind of connecting the three with the creepier, like, Wonderland stuff.
Yeah.
That'd be neat.
That'd be cool. Are you listening, Disney?
Well, they're like, thanks for the idea, gals.
I got ideas, yo.
Bless it up. Let's just do some blessing up. That's a great idea.
I mean, I think we're seeing as time goes on and they keep doing more live adaptations that they're just keeping it separate really from what happens in the parks. They're basing the parks things on the animated films. And for now, I guess it matters what people associate
more
with.
Dude, I have two words for you as far as that goes. Mm-hmm. Hyperspace Mountain, okay?
What about
Star
it?
Star Wars is completely taking over the park.
But
you know, it's getting a new land.
But
it's not animated. It is live action.
Right.
It's not animated. And they're giving it a whole bunch of stuff. Although, when Inventions opens back up again, you know, they used to stick all kinds of little cool things in corners of Inventions. Like when they originally did Thor and Captain America and whatnot, that could be a cool place to start adding like live action-y movie stuff in, you know, for a little while. And then you take it down, you put up a new overlay for the new movie. And
I'm not sure Inventions is reopening.
Inventions is not reopening as Inventions.
Yeah.
Inventions as reopening as Marvel will be. I think it's upstairs. Downstairs will be the Star Wars launch bay.
But that's only...
So
it's
that's
only going to be the Star Wars launch bay until Star Wars Land opens.
True. But I'm hoping, as much as I love the concept of Inventions, I am hoping that after Star Wars Land opens, it does keep a Tomorrowland slant. Not, you know, the world of the 80s, but it keeps going into something more futuristic. Because that space, I think, is woefully underused. If we're just going to put things from random movies in there, I don't think it's enough to keep the interest.
Yeah, I'm sure they're good. I'm sure all this stuff is temporary, everything about it. Even the Marvel characters in Inventions, that always seemed temporary. That never seemed like a permanent thing.
But it's, I mean, they're putting it back, and it sounds like it's going to be a lot more, so I'm excited to see.
Well, I was...
Or they take it.
Yeah, I'm going to bring this up now because it's timely, at least. So I was in the park on Monday, and unbeknownst to me, they had just unleashed all this signage for all the Star Wars things that are opening up, which, as they mentioned, Hyperspace Mountain, and the launch bay sign was there, and also there was a sign that said Marvel HQ.
That's upstairs.
That's similar to the Avengers logo.
I'm going to spend all my time upstairs, and Katie's going to spend all her time downstairs. We're going to look at each other once in a while and peace. You good? I'm good. Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited to.
There was also, I'm blanking out on the name of it, sorry. But in the Tomorrowland Theater, there was Star Wars signage as well. And it had a name.
I mean, it's, show.
Yeah, it's obviously a preview, but it didn't say the Force Awakens preview. It actually had something else. So while standing in Tomorrowland and kind of doing a circle there near the globe, I'm like, it literally looks like overnight that it became Star Wars Land. There's three new big Star Wars signs. I could see Star Tours from where I am.
It's perfect. I mean, this is a whole other podcast that isn't very creepy, but I think this is a little bit of injection of life that Tomorrowland needed. As much as I love Tomorrowland for the nostalgia, the future of the 80s is really no longer our future. We need to think above and beyond and, you know, continue that whole futuristic aspect. And it's not just Star Wars. It'd be nice if there was a little bit more creativity as, you know, for the world of tomorrow as opposed to...
I mean, hopefully, you know, once Star Wars Lands opens, we won't see anything Star Wars in Tomorrowland except for Star Tours.
Will Star Tours move?
You know, like,
I think that would be ridiculous to move Star Tours. I mean, the whole show building, you'd have to pick up and relocate the entire show building.
I mean, that's kind of weird to have a whole Star Wars land across the park in one attraction.
We don't even know what's going to be going into. This is such a tangent from like Alice in Wonderland.
I know, but we're not. Not doing a Star Wars episode, so I figured I would just bring it up now. All right. On that note, we're gonna get out of here. So,
yeah, I'm hungry. Let's go eat.
All right, say your goodbyes.
Okay. All right, I'm Roxy, and you can find me at WelcomeToRoxysWorld.com.
And I am Cupcake Tara, and you can find me on Instagram, Twitter as Cupcake Terror, and Tumblr as Cupcake Terror Takes Over the World. Yeah.
All right.
I think that's my tags.
It sounded very epic.
It is epic, because I am taking over the world. Wow. I am slowly becoming an overnight sensation.
One beer at a time.
Hopefully that will be on your tombstone. I'm slowly becoming an overnight sensation.
I will make that happen.
Thank you, Roxy.
So we're gonna go see Alice through Looking Glass in May.
Yes,
yeah. It's a date. May.
Right.
May
on
this.
Birthday.
All right. Let's have a Creepy Kingdom. We'll all go. Any listeners want to go, we'll all go. Downtown Disney.
Yeah, Downtown Disney. May. We'll do a meetup.
It's in May. That's good.
Yeah, we'll do a meetup. Yes. It'll be fun.
All right, people, plan your outfits accordingly. This will be a dress-up affair.
Isn't it always a dress-up affair?
Yes, but not everyone knows that.
Yo, I heard movie theaters are cracking down on people coming in costumes.
Oh, don't even get me started.
What?
Because of Star Wars?
Oh.
I am really upset.
That's why. You can dress up, but not.
They're saying no dressing up and no weapons. So that means no lightsabers, no prop weapons, and no voluminous costumes, because it is too easy to conceal a weapon. And they're trying to keep their moviegoers safe.
That makes sense.
Yeah,
it does. That makes total sense.
I wanted to go watch the movie as my Sith character with the big cloak, and I was going to put the L ribbon glowing red in the cloak hood, and now, no, I don't get to do that.
I honestly don't think
there are any movies that I go to see that I would break the rules of a costume. Like, dude, I go see Jem. Like, I don't think there's a rule against dressing like an 80s pop star.
No.
Oh, that's the number one rule.
Hey, now.
You must do it, yeah.
It's a requirement.
All right. Well, we'll go see the movie in May. All right. Yay.
Yay.
I would like to let you know that I was recently on an episode of Soiled Restroom Cinema, the very podcast that Congorilla is from. You may have heard her on previous episodes, including our last one about the Danny Elfman Halloween concert. I helped them review a movie called Jugface, so you can check it out at signalsoffury.com. It is not a family-friendly show, so if you check it out, be warned. And if you would like to contact us here on the show, do so by emailing us at creepykingdom@gmail.com. And if you would like to check out any of our other podcasts, Roxy's World, Curvy Kitty Chat, and the Even James of Podcasts podcast, you can do so by visiting monstermoviemedia.com. And for show notes, videos, creepy Disney cosplay, and fan art pics, links to all of our social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Google+, Tumblr, and Pinterest, just go to creepykingdom.com And if you would like to support us here at Creepy Kingdom, please visit patreon.com/creepykingdom. Well, until next time...
Keep it creepy and off with your head.
I have to go now. It is midnight. Pleasant dreams.